What's going on, everybody? Friday morning, back with you, NHL Fantasy on Ice. Pete Jensen and Rob Reese reacting off the second round and spinning things forward. We're joined by our buddy Matt Russell from the Action Network as well. What's going on, guys?
What's up? Welcome back to the show, Matt.
Thanks, gentlemen. Last we spoke, I was giving out Montreal to win game four against the Toronto Maple Leafs, and that didn't go well. But fortunately, they have literally won every game since that. So I feel like I get a little bit credit, you know, a little bit of credit for coming through for you guys there, as long as you just sort of stuck with the plan when it came to the Montreal Canadiens.
Yeah, some of those Minnesota picks looked good as well. And of course, the Montreal stuff aged like fine wine here as Montreal moves on. And they're going to be facing Vegas. And speaking of teams, you know, like Colorado was 6-0 to start the playoffs, guys, and they just dropped four straight for the first time all season. They're searching for answers. I don't think that we have many answers to provide, but Robbie, I guess your first thoughts as Colorado kind of goes out with a whimper here.
Well, that's a bracket buster for a lot of people. Yeah. I mean, that was the consensus favorite preseason. Matt, I don't know what you guys had at Action Network, but at NHL.com, we loved the makeup of that Avs team, especially from a contract standpoint. They had so many team-friendly deals. This was kind of the year where they can fit all those guys under the cap, no problem. Now, when you look at the, you know, offseason for them, they've got Philip Grubauer, who's a UFA. Their captain, Gabriel Landeskog's a UFA. Brandon Saad, who is a good playoff contributor for them, is a UFA. And then McCarr and Jost are two big-time RFAs. So the makeup of this team, you know, you don't want to get ahead of yourself, but it really seemed like that was their premier opportunity. And, you know, it's unfortunate that kind of McKinnon and Landeskog, you know, came up a little bit short in their past four games. So it's tough to see. You know, I thought that was a team that was poised to win the Stanley Cup, but here we are talking about another second-round exit for the team.
Yeah, and listen, I had them plus 500 to win the Stanley Cup, and I never bet the, you know, favorite to win the Stanley Cup just because, you know, listen, it's hockey. Anything can happen. That's how much I like the Avalanche. And, you know, I look at it this way. Even before, you know, the night that they were facing elimination, they were still better than plus 500 to win the Stanley Cup. So there's going to be good bets that just don't win. And so grabbing them at plus 500 is the best price you were ever going to get right up until the point where they got eliminated. So, you know, going forward, you know, I was a bit, you know, sarcastic on Twitter last night. I know that's hard to believe for everybody out there. But, you know, Grubauer, right? He made it through the whole season before Grubauering. And so, you know, you get and you look at their future and what they're going to do from the goaltending position. I think they understand that you shouldn't be investing in a goaltender, right? And we saw this last year with the Vancouver Canucks letting Jacob Markstrom go. And that didn't go particularly well when Calgary dumped the, you know, Brinks truck on his door. So, you know, Grubauer probably gone. They're probably going to find somebody else to kind of slot in there and hope to catch lightning in a bottle. And they had it. They had it. They were so close to having it. And then game three comes around and Marchessault banks one off of Grubauer. And it was like, just like that, it was all gone. And it turned like on a dime, essentially.
It really did. It's an amazing thing that Vegas did here to get to their third conference final or cup semifinal, whatever you want to call it, in their first four seasons of existence. And I thought that, like, that second line, like William Karlsson looked like a madman last night in a good way. And Jonathan Marchessault, of course, leading the series in points when it's all said and done. So you couldn't have expected any more from those guys. In fact, based on the regular season, I think you could have expected less, but they became the advantage of the team again. Fleury rock solid for Vegas. And that brings up a great goalie matchup here in round three between Carey Price and Marc-Andre Fleury. Of course, they have Leonard behind him, but this is Fleury's team. They really turned the series around. And, you know, I think Vegas has turned into, right, this, like, you know, I know a lot of people out there don't like them because they're a newbie pretty much. But I mean, it's like they've turned into this like perennial cup contender. And it was nice to see them break through because the past couple of years, you know, they've kind of gotten stopped at some different points in the playoffs and some disappointing exits for them. But they certainly earned it. I can't say anything negative about Vegas right now.
Well, they set the bar way too high for Seattle now. I mean, you've got to think that franchise is sitting there waiting, thinking, what are we going to do to field a competitive team like that that's gone so deep, you know, almost every year that they've been in existence? It's really crazy, but I think they deserve a lot of credit. I think, Matt, one thing I was looking at, you know, kind of from a betting lens, you know, early on in the playoffs, they just so many games with a crazy high shot volume against Minnesota, and it's like they couldn't finish, right? And now they finally broke through in the second round. The goals are going in. And the second line is absolutely popping off night in and night out. If you're playing DFS, you got to have those guys in your lineup now. But I think from a standpoint of looking at this series, they are huge favorites, rightfully so, against the Montreal Canadiens. Yeah. And their 5-on-5 shooting percentage is actually second now, right behind the New York Islanders. The Islanders are at 9.8%. Vegas is up to 9%. And after their first round of kind of, uh-oh, here we go again, you know, it's the Vancouver series from last year, you're thinking, okay, now can this team be stopped? Can a Carey Price, who's been the best goaltender in the postseason, even come close to stopping these guys? My gut reaction says, no, I love the price for Montreal. Okay, I love the Habs, but yeah. I can't go out on the show, Matt, and recommend taking the Montreal Canadiens in this series.
Well, and that's the thing, right? So when you talk about like the shot percentages and all of that stuff, that's all incredibly valid. You know, just take last night's game, for example. Like, pucks were finding their way into the net against Grubauer, right? And I've never seen a guy look into the corner and get faked out by that, like, just shoulder shimmy that they were going to just keep cycling the puck. I've tried that move as a forward. It's literally never worked out for me. And it's working out from an NHL goaltender standpoint, where he's just completely lost and all of a sudden a puck's coming from a completely different angle. Carlson, you mentioned him. Like, he fans on that shot on the one-timer, but it, like, he just got just enough that it, you know, got right in that little like 3-inch, you know, territory there. Like, a lot really went right in last night's game specifically for Vegas to have that high conversion rate. And so, you know, as we look forward to this series, yeah, like, if we're predicting who's going to win, yeah, I mean, you'd say Vegas and you'd say, you know, probably Tampa Bay in the other series. And we would sit here and we'd go, you know what? Like, the playoffs were the playoffs. We had all these underdog wins early on, but we eventually got to the end game of Tampa and Vegas, which nobody would really be all that surprised about if you'd told us that before the playoffs started. But we're talking about sports betting here. We're talking about gambling. And so, like, what's the bigger risk, right? Willing to lay 4.5 units to win one on the Vegas Golden Knights, or willing to risk just one to win 3.5, you know, we're sort of seeing it move up here to 3.75 here on the Montreal Canadiens. And so, yeah, from a pricing standpoint, you do have to bet the Montreal Canadiens here. And I don't think it's outrageous. And so, a couple of things here. So first and foremost, coming into the playoffs, Montreal was the biggest unknown quantity, right? We didn't know what their rating should be because we didn't really have any good information to base it off of. We had poisoned information, right? We had a lot of Jake Allen in our lives at the end of the regular season. We had injuries and we had just a brutal schedule for the Montreal Canadiens. And so, like, it was never going to look that great for Montreal in what was essentially half of their season in this shortened season. And so the good news for us is that's variance, man. That's uncertainty. That's stuff we love in betting an underdog. I don't want to bet an underdog if I know what I'm going to get out of that underdog. I want to bet an underdog that, like, is a complete wild card. And that's what Montreal was. And that's why we had them against Toronto. And then the Winnipeg series comes around and my numbers crank out that Montreal is going to get about 60% of the expected goals and 60% of the high danger chances, right? And you go, that's crazy, like, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you know what? They got to be favored in this series. Now, I know intellectually they're not going to be favored because for whatever reason, people like that Winnipeg Jets team. I was never one of those people and haven't been for years. And so what happens? Well, Montreal gets 60%+ of the expected goals for and the high danger chances, and they end up sweeping Winnipeg. So now after two series, I think I've got a pretty good handle on what the Montreal Canadiens rating should be, right? Which is all I can really ask for out of my handicapping. And so we take that to this series against the Vegas Golden Knights. So, you know, it's like you finally figure out what the Montreal Canadiens are potentially. And then they go, you know the rules, and then they change the game because now we're talking about a whole other situation here. And that's the divisions, right? I have a great rating on Montreal for the North Division, but I don't know how they stack up against the West Division and vice versa. And so I think part of this number is built on this idea that the North Division is just, you know, kind of brutal. And, you know, whether you're north of the border or south of the border, you've probably been kind of slagging the hockey that's been played north of the border. But it's been played in these empty arenas. And whether it's college basketball, college football, the NFL, NBA, pick a sport, it's always going to look worse when there's nobody there to see it. And so part of me sort of wonders if we are underrating Montreal still, because just from an eye test standpoint, it doesn't look that great. You flip the channel and you watch the Vegas and then Colorado series, and it's complete chaos and everything seems faster. And yeah, like they might be faster. And I'm not saying that Vegas shouldn't be favored. They should certainly be favored. And, you know, we'll never know potentially whether they should have been a 60% favorite or the 80%+ favorite right now that they are, right? Their win probability, according to a minus 450 series price, is over 80%. Now, like, I just don't buy that. I just don't buy that they are 80%+ to win this series. And so it's a mandatory play on Montreal. It's a bet that you have to expect to lose and be okay with losing. But look at it this way. I don't really compare Montreal to Vegas in this. Obviously, we should, and I do a little bit, obviously. But I actually compare Montreal to the Minnesota Wild, right? And if we compare those two teams, you can start to, you know, I don't really know if there is that much of a difference between the Minnesota Wild and the Montreal Canadiens. But the point is that the Minnesota Wild took the Vegas Golden Knights to game seven, right? Like that was a coin flip series and coin flip games. So it's sort of like an A to B to C type of thing where you go, if Minnesota could almost do it, and let's be honest, a couple of breaks here or there, especially in games three and four in Minnesota, and maybe we never even see a game seven in Vegas, and Minnesota pulls that upset that I was hoping that they were going to do in the first round. And so it's like, okay, if Minnesota could do it, why couldn't Montreal do it here? And so it's kind of a mandatory bet from a series standpoint, from a game-to-game standpoint. You know, what do you guys think? Is this going to go six? Because if it goes six, that means that Montreal is going to get two out of the first five. And when we're talking about prices at plus 200 or better when it's in Vegas, that means it's probably going to be plus 150 or better when it's in Montreal. And all you need is two out of those five to end up being profitable heading into that game six. And like, think about it from a real life standpoint. If it's 3-2 and it's going back to Montreal and we're sitting here with a plus 375 series price, we're going to feel pretty good about ourselves. Now, if you think Vegas is 85% to win the series and they're going to sweep them, have at it with the Vegas Golden Knights, like all, you know, more power to you. But that's a lot to risk just for, you know, one unit back here. And so I think we get caught up sometimes in, you know, oh, it's so risky to bet the underdog. Well, it's kind of more risky in this case to bet the favorite.
Yeah, it makes sense. You draw a nice parallel with Minnesota, how it feels like Vegas like hit their pinnacle and got up for the Colorado series. But the fact that the other series went deeper than this one did is telling about what could happen in this series ahead. Definitely the allure from a betting standpoint and the fun from a betting standpoint is to go with the Islanders and or the Canadiens. I think both of those teams have proven so far they can shut down opposing offenses. They can roll four strong lines with anybody. Their goaltending is as good as anybody's. I think Jeff Petrie injury is like that's a big thing. Like without Petrie, they could be out in five. They maybe even could be swept, you know? I mean, I'm not going to say that that can happen, but I do think that the fact that Montreal's, say, fourth line has been so profitable in DFS, it's been so underrated with Staal and Armia. Armia's got like three shorthanded goals. I mean, these guys can play, and I think that Petrie injury is like a big X factor in this series if Montreal is going to extend it.
Well, I mean, I don't know what I'm missing here. Vegas has 12 guys with at least 5 points. Montreal has five. I mean, it's like this is just, these do not belong in the same sentence, you know. And I love the angle of the bets and the, you know, huge number for Vegas is definitely not appealing. I get that. But this thing is either over in four or five. I love the Habs, but this is just such a mismatch. I think they're going to be at a big disadvantage from having played in that North Division all season and not getting that battle test. Now, when you look at the New York Islanders, Petey, that's a team that I'd be willing to, you know, pony up for and say they can go toe-to-toe with anybody because they've proven it. They've been through the gauntlet. In my opinion, the hardest division in hockey was the East this year. You know, even with the New York Rangers making a push there at the end of the season, that was tough hockey. That was tough sledding. Not that the North Division isn't good. I don't want to make that point. I think Montreal is a solid hockey club. They're ahead of a lot, you know, ahead of, you know, where they should be at this time, you know, probably from a contract standpoint and from a GM standpoint. I like what the guys they're getting out of. Toffoli's been fantastic. Suzuki has had a great year. Price has been Carey Price from 10 years ago, brick wall status, but that ain't going to do it against a team like Vegas. They're going to need more than that. They're going to need more scoring. And that goal that Mark Stone scored in overtime against the Avalanche 2 games ago, like that was a goal that, you know, that team's going to the cup final. You just, there's always one of them. Kuznetsov against the Penguins a few years ago, it was Mark Stone going bar down in OT. That's a real team. That's a real contender. Montreal, it's been a great run, but we'll see you on the golf course in a few weeks here.
I mean, Matt, what do you think about some of these, like the, you know, Max Pacioretty is a big storyline in the series, obviously having been the former Canadiens captain. But I mean, in terms of the star power in Vegas, like, will this overwhelm Montreal? Does Montreal have any chance of stacking up forward wise? Because like Robbie was saying, I mean, they had 4 different guys, including Pacioretty, including Pietrangelo, who was a beast in that series, score a point per game or better, you know, in that series against Colorado. Really impressive depth for Vegas.
Yeah, and listen, if I was drafting out a fantasy team, don't get me wrong, right? I want points and I want the Vegas guys, right? Because that's how they win games. But yep, in the NHL, you win games in a variety of different ways, right? And we've seen Montreal here. And, you know, listen, has any team gotten less respect from winning 7 straight games, basically never trailing for like an historic level of time? And listen, again, I don't like the Jets, so I'm not even saying that that's all that impressive relative to all this other stuff.
Right.
But, you know, yeah, like, again, like Vegas is going to win a higher scoring game, right? It's the same way that Montreal didn't want anything to do with a high scoring game against Toronto, and they didn't want anything to do with a high scoring game against the Winnipeg Jets, right? But what they have shown is an ability to keep it low scoring, right? To make it 2-1, to have it really grimy, where like incredibly low event, low high danger chance type of games here. And you know, that's kind of what the Minnesota Wild, it's like why I keep bringing up the Minnesota Wild, like that's what they wanted to do too. And yes, Pacioretty wasn't in the lineup for the vast majority of that series. And again, I'm not saying that Montreal should be favored by any means here, but we're talking about the semifinals here of the Stanley Cup playoffs with a team that, listen, like from a betting standpoint, if I sort of came to you from the future and said, hey, there's going to be this team, they've won 7 straight playoff games, they haven't trailed in weeks, and still we're going to get this underdog price on this team, is that something you might be interested in? I'd be like, yeah, I'm into that. And so how is that possible? Well, because people get enamored with the Vegas Golden Knights, or, you know, this would have been the same thing with the Colorado Avalanche. Problem is, like, I like the Avalanche better from like a metric standpoint, and so, you know, the discrepancy in my numbers wouldn't be the same if Colorado was, you know, advanced here. This price feels way closer than, you know, it should have been if it were the Avalanche than it's the Knights. And so again, like, I expect the Knights to win the series. It's just, you know, you have to take advantage of these opportunities and be willing, like I said, to lose the bet when the numbers don't add up the way that they do. And so, you know, we'll get to that other series here, but like, I think you guys will be sort of surprised where I end up landing from a numbers standpoint on that series. It's actually a very different situation for me when we're talking about, I keep wanting to call it the Eastern Conference, but it's obviously it's not. It was last year, which is part of the handicap, don't get me wrong. So yeah, like Vegas is scary. That's why they are -450, -500. I get that. But like, it's still the NHL. It's still hockey. I still feel like Vegas had the, you know, the good side of the breaks. Listen, if that game, you know, listen, we had a weird goal here for Vegas to tie the game. We get a couple weird goals later on. If that series goes 7 back to Colorado, certainly Colorado's favored at home, and we might not be having this conversation about Vegas, right? But things are pretty shaky for Grubauer. And so, you know, I don't know that they're going to be that shaky when it comes to Carey Price, right? Like, who gets these, you know, the point shot goals, right? The shots that look innocuous and they somehow find their way in. And like, we can handicap everything and drop, you know, as many names as we want. But like, sometimes it just comes down to like, does that puck find its way into the net? And sometimes it doesn't. And when we're talking about like high probability assumptions here with regards to the Vegas Golden Knights, again, they might win all four games. They might do it in overtime. We saw the Winnipeg Jets sweep the Oilers in one of the most fraudulent sweeps in the history of all sports. That could happen again, or they could just dominate them for four straight games, or maybe Montreal wins four overtime games, right? Like, there's so much that can happen here and the variance is off the charts. And I just think that people still aren't giving Montreal the credit that they deserve. And at this price point, I just have to play that at Montreal, being fully aware that I'm probably going to lose the bet. But if they played this series 100 times, I got to think Montreal wins 30 of them, right? And that's a 70-30 and not an 82-18 percentage.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. I think they would probably not win 30 times. That's just me, but I respect the analysis for sure. And I think that the unknown factor that you brought up, there is an unknown factor, because you could say all you want that, right, Vegas, you know, Montreal has not played a team of Vegas's caliber or Colorado's caliber or even Minnesota's caliber, if you want to go down that road. But it's an unknown. You don't, right? It comes down to this series and this series alone. If one injury happens on Vegas's end, you could be talking about things differently, like we did in the Montreal series with the Scheifele situation. I mean, I think we all knew that that series was over when he got suspended. We didn't expect the sweep, but still, one small variable could change a whole lot, especially when you're talking about a very tight series like that was. I mean, that game six for Colorado and Vegas, I mean, Colorado kept responding, right? It was not like they withered. We talked about how they went quietly, like they didn't get it to game seven. They didn't get to get Kadri back and all that stuff. And some of their top guns got shut down, but they did bring an effort. And I want to say that Nathan MacKinnon did show me something. He's not just that, you know, that guy that exits in the first round or goes with him. He brought his A game. He brought 110%. He had two primary assists. You know, it's, I have mad respect for Nathan MacKinnon. I thought that he performed exceptionally compared to the other superstars in the NHL, you know, the other top five guys, excluding Kucherov this postseason.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, you have to think so. But also, kind of going off that injury note, Pete, I think the only guy I would be real concerned about for Vegas would be Mark Stone if they lost him. Otherwise, you know, I think they can get through. I mean, when you look at their third line, Matthias Janmark has 7 points. Alex Tuck has 7 points so far in the postseason. Like, those guys, when needed, like, they'll take on a bigger role, right, and cash in for you. So I think they can withstand that. And I think when you look at the other series too, like Tampa Bay, obviously I like them as well. I have Vegas winning in five. Tampa, I think I'm going to give the Islanders respect and say that goes at least six. I have Tampa winning in six for that one. But like, if Tampa loses one of their top guys, I mean, they got guys on the third and fourth line now, even Ross Colton, where you're like, all right, he's good for a goal every so often too, right? And their power play is so lethal that, like, okay, just call some guy off the bench and have him stand in the left hash. And there you go, you know, scoring chances galore for that team. So that doesn't even really concern me with this Vegas team. And I'd love to pick the Habs here with you, Matt, you know, just from a betting lens, but I can't do it. I've been on them. I was the only guy on them against Toronto. Obviously against Winnipeg, that was a no-brainer. I'm with you, Matt. I never bought into that Winnipeg Jets dynasty team. I don't know where that came from, by the way, from Connor Hellebuck. That one, I'm like, I love the confidence, but I respectfully disagree with that take.
Probably not going to happen. Sorry.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I did think that that team was closer a few years ago when they had Bufflin, right? Like, I thought that was a legitimate contender, sure. But you know, now with their decor, you had to think no. But I lastly here on this series, I think, Petey, you made a great point. It's like Minnesota was a good team this year, right? Like, they played Colorado really well in the regular season and they played Vegas really well in the regular season. And that was tough to do, especially with a team that didn't have a lot beyond Kirill Kaprizov. So, you know, I think that that's a good test for Vegas, you know, round one and then round two. I mean, when you beat a team like Colorado, that's the icing on the cake for me. That solidifies me for that they're going through. And the last thing here, Matt, you know, whether it's Lehner or it's Fleury, it'll be Fleury, you know, until he has a bad game, but I don't think he's going to have a bad game, you know, against that Habs team. I really don't.
No, and I think Leonard, like, he lost all privileges after that game one, where he was the reason that they lost. Like, you can look at it and go 7-1 game, like, oh, everybody, you know, the players and blah, blah, blah. Like, he was -4 against goals saved above average, right? That means an average goaltender would have given up 4 less goals than he did. Like, that's kind of an insane thing to think about, and not something that happens all that often. And listen, when you lose 7-1, it's rarely that like 18 skaters all didn't show up for the game, right? Like, something that goes from 3-1 to 7-1 is often because the goaltender wasn't super locked in or wasn't super ready to go. And so, you know, from an expected goals for standpoint and a high danger chance, like even strength standpoint, that was a very evenly played game. And so you're watching that game and you're like, how could that possibly be? It's a 7-1 game. That was the first sort of inkling that Colorado might be in trouble. Only because, you know, you look going forward in that series, you're like, okay, you're getting all these crazy prices with Vegas, even though that was a 5-on-5 evenly played game. And then, of course, Vegas played better than Colorado in the next 3 games. And so, you know, again, like, last thing on the Montreal thing, you know, I don't know that the West was that great of a division. You know, Minnesota, good team, but we saw St. Louis, you know, that was a no-brainer to fade them out into oblivion against Colorado. And then beyond that, you've got what, the Kings, the Ducks, the Sharks, like, kind of a horror show out West, right? But nobody picks on them because they're not sort of the focus the way that like the Canadian teams are. And it would have been the same way if it was the East Division that was the, you know, allegedly bad division. And so, you know, yeah, like Colorado and Vegas, like, that's a perfect recipe for them to stack up points and be the President's Trophy, you know, co-leaders, right? Going up until needing a tie break to decide who actually got the hardware there. So, you know, again, I think we overrate a little bit what's going on over there in the West because those two teams are around every single year. But I think, you know, to your point about Montreal building this team, I think this is a team that's not going to be that surprising next year when we look up and we realize that they are in the mix for, you know, again, and maybe another semifinal or a division, you know, title or something along those lines, right? I think they're at the very start of their window, and you're right, they're probably not ready yet to advance, but like, I rather get there before everybody than sort of try to jump on the bandwagon as it's leaving town.
Yeah, I think that, like, for Montreal's side, Conn Smythe speaking, like, clearly it's Carey Price. That's the only guy that could ever win it for that team. Even the best case scenario for anybody else, it'll still go to Price. As your colleague Michael Leboff said on our last show, I fully agree. On Vegas's end, do you see any value Conn Smythe wise for any of these number of guys, including Petrangelo, including Jonathan Marchessault, William Karlsson, Mark Stone, or is it going to just be Marc-Andre Fleury because, you know, he's got the pedigree, he's delivering again, he's rising the leaderboard all time, you know, type playoff wins, shutouts, yeah, all that stuff. Like, is it going to go to Fleury if Vegas wins, or could it go to somebody else?
I think at this point, like, it's up for grabs with the last two series, right? This is going to be that. This is probably the team that, once we get to the finals, whoever is the best player in the finals will sort of push their way in front. And so because of that, like, anybody sort of in the second or third or fourth choice on Vegas, wherever you're sort of looking at your odds, right? Yeah, Fleury's going to be up there. You know, I don't know that, you know, I don't know that he needs to steal this series. And like, when it comes to goaltending and the Conn Smythe Trophy, like, that's kind of like the prerequisite. So I don't know that Fleury is the right play. It's really just take your chances. I was thinking yesterday about Petrangelo. I was like, man, this guy is all over the ice. If that continues to be the case, and the offense, like you guys are talking about with a second line and all that thing, like, if that gets split around, right, that's when everybody starts looking at the defenseman, right? When it's the goaltender's not the obvious pick and there's a billion different guys scoring offensively, that's when we look at the defenseman. And like, Petrangelo's, I think, a pretty good selection.
I could see it. I mean, his shot volume has been so good too, right? And if he keeps that up and gets a couple in a row, like, then easily he inserts himself into that conversation and boom, you're sitting there with great odds on that pick if you made it a couple days ago, right? So I like that. I think it would definitely be either Fleury or Mark Stone. I can't see any scenario in which that doesn't happen. Maybe if Pacioretty keeps his thing up where he's scoring, you know, every other night here and he finishes that way, but he doesn't have enough games played. You know what I mean? So then you're going to default, oh, well, Mark Stone did it the whole postseason, right? So I think it'd probably be him, you know, hoisting that trophy goofy. But I do want to shift gears here, fellas. I feel like we have a good, you know, wrap on that series. Let's go over to Tampa Bay, New York Islanders. And Matt, like, this series, when I was looking at the numbers, I'm thinking, oh my God, like, New York Islanders, like, how can I not keep picking this team? Like, 5-on-5, they are a better team right now in the postseason than the Tampa Bay Lightning, right? If you look at the Lightning stats, all they've really been doing is just cashing in power play after power play after power play, almost at 50% through the postseason so far. And you look at the other side of the ice, yeah, the Islanders power play, it's not much of a power play, but they're so good at even strength. And they dominated the Bergeron line at even strength and kind of made that obsolete for the Bruins. And they didn't have the second line with Taylor Hall. That wasn't very good with Craig Smith, whatever. So Islanders are advancing 6. Now you come in Tampa Bay, obviously another pretty big favorite. Islanders got a little bit more respect against them than the Habs did against the Golden Knights, but I am not ready to go back to the New York Islanders here. I have to think Tampa's got something more to give at even strength. How do you see this, Matt?
Yeah, so, you know, again, we talked about it off camera, and as soon as this, the first empty net goal went in for Boston, I'm like, let's crank out the numbers here. Let's see where my numbers leave, you know, this series before the market sort of weighs in, right? And the sports books put their numbers up. And my price for an individual game was minus 180. And game one immediately opened Tampa minus 180. So for me, no value from that standpoint, actually a fair price on Tampa Bay, which I think will surprise a lot of people because, you know, listen, any team that gets this far, and maybe I'm that way with Montreal, and you're sort of almost feel like you might be veering towards that with the Islanders, where it's like, yeah, they've come through with us up until this point, but like, yeah, of course they did. Like, that's how the playoffs work, right? Like, they're going, any team that's made it to the semifinals has come through. And so somebody's got to lose here. And so from a value standpoint, game to game, minus 180 is my price, minus 180 plus 180, right? Without the juice from the sports book. And from a series price, I have it at minus 300. And it opens like minus 260. And then within hours, it goes up to minus 300. And so somebody out there agrees with me and, you know, saw the value in the minus 180, which of course is now minus 190 or minus 200 from a game standpoint, right? So like, people are seeing that price. And I was waiting. I got a little greedy because I'm like, oh, people are going to like the Islanders here. They're going to see a plus 160 in the game or a, you know, plus 230 for the series. And they're going to gobble that up. Didn't end up being the case in the first 24 hours, right? It was the other way. People saw the fair value in the Tampa Bay Lightning and grabbed that and have kicked that price up and up and up. So it's actually a really fair price for me at Tampa Bay. Now, do I want to lay those prices? Well, not necessarily, right? I respect what the Islanders are doing. And I will take one sort of pushback on the 5-on-5 thing. The Islanders so far have given up 2.32 expected goals for 5-on-5. And, you know, the Blues gave up 2.34 this season or in the playoffs against Colorado. And they got swept to the point where, like, I forgot the Blues were even in the playoffs, right? And so, like, the Islanders are getting by despite, you know, giving up a pretty high amount of expected goals for, right? So, you know, how are they getting away with this? Well, they're converting at an insane rate on 5-on-5 high danger chances, 22.9%. League average is about 14%. And they've done that against the Bruins and the Penguins. And you're going, why is that? Well, two things. One, the legend Tristan Jarry, right? And two, a banged up Tuukka Rask. The goaltending that they've faced has been so shoddy. Not really Rask's fault. I would say entirely Tristan Jarry's fault. And they've been able to score despite not getting the same level of chances and the same level of play that their opponent has. Meanwhile, they've gotten good goaltending. It's been a little bit sparse here or there, but now they face the king. You know, I know that's Henrik Lundqvist, but it might as well be Andre Vasilevsky at this point, right? That guy is amazing. I would rely on him if I had one game to, you know, save my life. And so they're not going to have that advantage. And then you go, okay, well, what's the one thing they can't do, you know, or anybody can't do if you're going to face the Tampa Bay Lightning? You can't take penalties because they'll get you. Well, the Carolina Hurricanes were third in the league in penalty kill. Didn't matter. Tampa Bay smokes them on the power play. Well, look at the Islanders here. It's ugly from a penalty kill standpoint, right? They have gotten by despite giving up like 38.5%. So, you know, you mentioned the Lightning, 41.7% on the power play. Islanders opponents are 38.5%. So like, yeah, I suppose it's possible they stay out of the box here, but like the stuff that we like about the Islanders, right? Their ability to roll four lines, you know, obviously, you know, discipline and, you know, all of this other, the grit, right? Like the magic, if you will, like Tampa Bay has all of that, right? They have the experience to not be rattled because they're in a loud building. They have four lines that, you know, not a lot of teams have, right? That's what makes Tampa Bay awesome. And like, yeah, you can argue it's not fair, right? Because of the salary cap implications, but like, too late, right? Doesn't matter now. Like that's not going to help the Islanders at this point. So like they do everything that the Islanders do. They just do it a lot better in some cases. Some cases a little better, but they do everything better than the Islanders here. And listen, I was on the Islanders against Pittsburgh. Nothing bad to say about the Islanders. But the difference here for me between this and the other series, right, when it comes to sports betting, I mentioned the idea of variance, uncertainty, all of that sort of thing. If Montreal and Vegas had played, I don't know, in a neutral site somewhere within the last 12 months, then we'd have a better idea of what to expect from that series. Guess what? The Islanders and the Lightning have played on a neutral site within the last 12 months. So at least we have an idea of how these teams match up. And so last year, the expected goals for in that series were 13.21, 5-on-5 for Tampa Bay and 10 even for the Islanders. So again, Tampa Bay with the advantage there. Tampa Bay had 70 high danger chances at even strength in that series in six games, 49 for the Islanders. So yeah, a couple of those games are close. And I've seen stats about, you know, it's funny, right? Like we see a stat about how the Islanders didn't trail all that much against Tampa Bay, but like nobody's willing to give Montreal any credit for that on the other side. And so, you know, I think that's just sort of, you know, a space and time type situation where it's like, okay, they didn't, but you know, listen, Tampa won a couple of games pretty convincingly. The Islanders won a game in overtime and that series goes six. So we have seen it go six. If it goes six again, okay, I'm totally fine with that. We're not talking about an outrageous price here the way that we are with Montreal and Vegas. I think it's a fair price right now on Tampa Bay. So the only sort of thing I would caution people is maybe don't buy, you know, don't buy into the underdog concept with the Islanders where you think that this is a really good value that you're getting, because truthfully, you're not. This isn't great value for the Islanders here. It is a more fair price when it comes to the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yeah, I mean, I think I definitely agree with what you're saying about not only the goaltending for Pittsburgh and Boston, but also the defenses on those teams are a far cry from what they were during, you know, the championship years for Pittsburgh. And of course, for Boston, when they got to the final, when they had Krug and Chara. So yeah, I think absolutely, that the Islanders have not been tested in that regard. I would expect some serious adjustments from Barry Trotz compared to last year's playoff series against the Lightning, which means, I mean, maybe the Islanders could take them to seven games. Would you be shocked? I wouldn't. I mean, they're pushing everybody to the brink. Their top pair can shut down anybody. I mean, you're going to have to limit your penalties. The Islanders are a physical team. You can't go into the box two, three times a game. If you do, the Lightning will score two goals in those situations. Go two for three, go two for two. Even if you limit your penalties, they're still gonna bite you there. The problem is with the Islanders, I just don't see their top players rising above Tampa Bay's top players. I've been thinking about it the past couple of days since the matchup. I just can't see the Islanders' top guys outperforming Victor Hedman, Nikita Kucherov, Steven Stamkos, Braden Point, who is maybe one of the most clutch players in the playoffs in recent years with what he's doing in big game moments. So I just can't envision that. That's the one reason I'm not picking the Islanders to upset the Lightning, but I do think they have the chance to take them to six or seven.
Yeah, I'm with you, Petey. And look, I want to be the guy picking the underdogs here. I do. That's usually the brand that I throw out there in the postseason. It's fun. It's more exciting, but I can't do that with the New York Islanders here. I think it's going to be tighter. I think Barry Trotz, you know, above and beyond, is the best coach in the National Hockey League. But when you look at Matthew Barzell's game, I wish he had someone playing on his left side that was a little bit more dynamic, right? I wish that they're, you know, other than the JGP line now and Palmieri, like, I wish they had just had a little bit more pizzazz. You know, credit to Josh Bailey on the second line. He's been tremendous. You know, Brock Nelson has been a really good player for them. But when you're going toe to toe with guys like Kucherov, Point, Stamkos, you know, Killorn has been tremendous for the Lightning in the postseason. We need more from Palat, but that's easy. He can get hot at any minute, right? You're kind of starting to scratch your head and thinking, okay, can they be in that same level of playing field? And I don't think they can be. Now, the only thing that I think could happen here for the New York Islanders, it kind of goes against, you know, these numbers, Matt, but like so many Islanders teams or games this regular season too, like they were getting outshot, they were getting outchanced, but somehow it was like a 2-2 game in the third period. And like the Islanders get one scoring chance the other way and capitalize and then lock things down. And it's like, you're kind of scratching your head thinking, what did I just watch there? And how are they climbing in the standings? But like, it doesn't really make sense with this team, and it hasn't the past few years. And like, I wish I could bring more numbers, you know, to kind of paint that picture better, but this is just Islanders hockey right now. And even without their captain, you know, Anders Lee, it's just like they still find guys that just chip in, score big time goals. And I do think you made the best point here, though. Tristan Jarry and an injured Tuukka Rask, who's having surgery and likely out till January and February, I'm hearing now, like that to me is just not, you know, good enough competition wise. But I know, Petey, like you've seen this better than anybody too. Like sometimes the Islanders just leave you kind of scratching your head and saying like, how did they pull it out? How did they win that game? But they've been the team that's been doing that for the past two or three seasons now since Trotz took over.
I mean, the Islanders can, any of those guys can step up any given game. We've even seen, I mean, Palmieri leads them in goals this postseason. Pageau is what, better than a point per game, leads the NHL in even strength points last I checked this postseason, which is amazing for a third line player. And then even Noah Dobson has stepped up and he's like a top five defenseman scorer this postseason. And it's a guy, he's probably like fourth or fifth on the list of top defensemen during the regular season for New York, but he's coming of age here. And I mean, that's what the Islanders are going to need. They're going to need these second and third line guys to outperform Tampa's second and third line guys. And if Stamkos is just a power play assassin, you know, take his game away at even strength and then you give yourself a chance. I think that, like, definitely the goalie standpoint, like, I don't have full confidence that one or both of these goalies aren't going to play in the series for New York. I could see them turn into Sorokin at some point. I think it's odd and peculiar that Sorokin wins all the games in the first round and then Varlamov wins all the games in the second round. Just totally bizarre. You never really see that in the NHL, but they can mix and match. And the one thing with Tampa Bay, though, they haven't trailed in a series yet this postseason. Yeah, Montreal trailed in a series, Vegas trailed in a series. I mean, right? This is a total, I mean, honestly, like after the first few games against Florida, you could have sat there and said, I've seen enough. Tampa's going to go to the Cup final and play Colorado or Vegas. And it's as simple as that. And it could very easily play out that way.
Yeah, that's exactly. And that's kind of where we started this conversation, right? Where it's like, okay, we have all this fun following the Stanley Cup playoffs and these upsets. Yeah. And like, oh, can you believe this happened or that happened? It's like, yeah, but the Lightning ended up playing Vegas in the Stanley Cup final. And it's like, Oh, okay. So we all just, you know, we took a kind of crazy road to get here, but we got to the place that we probably should have got, you know, the entire time. Yeah. And so, you know, like, yeah, like the Islanders stuff, you know, it's like, okay, I expect them to do this, you know, whether it's against Pittsburgh or Boston. And like, yeah, they overachieved. Same thing with like Montreal against Winnipeg. It's like, yeah, I expected them to win that series and they swept them. But like, you can't do it any better than that, right? Like they can't do it any better. So, you know, their expectations that, you know, that we've had for both of those teams, like they have met those expectations. But like you guys are sort of talking about with Montreal and Vegas, like this is a different weight class at this point in time. Right. And I'd be on the Islanders too if they were plus 375, the same way that Montreal is. But, you know, because they beat Pittsburgh, because they beat Boston, you know, I think we're giving them, you know, an appropriate amount of credit, which again, why I think this line is fair and actually more fair for Tampa, just because, like, people think highly of the Islanders. And it's not that I don't. It's just like the stuff that the Islanders do, the rolling of the four lines, and having, you know, each one of those four lines being defensively responsible to be able to shut down as best they kind of could that top line for Boston, right? It's like, well, that's great, but you know, that's not really going to be, you know, doable here against the Lightning, right? And like, yes, they might, you know, all team together to shut down the top line, but the Lightning have way more than Boston has after that top line. They have way more than Pittsburgh had after that top line. And so, yeah, I mean, to me, I'm sort of where Rob is with the other series, where I'm like, this feels like a five gamer for Tampa Bay. Again, maybe it goes six, because let's be honest, it's hockey here, stuff happens, but it just doesn't seem like Vasilevsky's giving up those, you know, we talked about earlier, the point shot goals, right? The seeing eye goals that somehow find their way in. Or, you know, there's a lot of grimy goals for the Islanders, right? They get into the high danger chances areas and they're just hacking away, and like the puck just ends up in the net somehow, right? Against Rask or against Jarry. Like Vasilevsky's just a stonewall in there, right? You don't see those goals happening very often against him. And so take away some of those goals that are, you know, they're high danger chance goals, but they're not the prettiest for the Islanders. Take away those or limit those. And you know, again, we talked about the special teams, and I'm not huge necessarily on handicapping games based on special teams, but like the numbers are stark here. Like I would be much more comfortable with the Islanders if they had shown any ability to be able to, you know, hold a power play at bay. And then again, remember Stamkos wasn't around for that series last year either. So we're talking about a power play, a version of the Tampa Bay power play that the Islanders didn't see last year and thus have not seen for quite some time based on, you know, where we've been over the last year and a half.
It would be a spectacle, though, to see two teams in the final that are both from the Eastern Conference, right? I mean, it would be hilarious to see Montreal versus the Islanders, and you're like, in the final, you're like, oh, wait, this makes sense. No, it doesn't, right? That would be incredible. And the percentage of that happening, I'd probably put around 2 or 3%, right? I mean, it could happen, flip a coin, right? You know, some of these goals in the playoffs. But really, I do want to tip my cap to the Islanders. I know that I'm picking Tampa in this series in six games, but the fact they've even scored 3.58 goals per game in the playoffs, like, I know it's been against some shaky goaltending, but still, for everybody and all the critics saying that that team didn't have enough scoring or this and that, like, they've answered the bell. They've done what they needed to do to get into this position, and now the experience that this team has built over the past few years has been tremendous. And I think that's one thing where I do give the edge to Tampa Bay. Like, that's a team that knows how to win, and that at this time of the year is so valuable. Even with Vegas having gotten to a Stanley Cup final before, just knowing what it takes to get that done, I think, is what a lot of teams like the Colorado Avalanche are kind of lacking right now. You will see them, that they'll get there, they'll have their day. But that experience right now is where I'm going to put my chip. It's where I'm most comfortable going, even if the price isn't always necessarily right.
That goals per game figure, Robbie, that you dropped, that leads the NHL now that Colorado is eliminated. So, I mean, it was second, even if you counted Colorado, but, you know, really impressive for sure for New York and what they're doing. Final year at the Coliseum, it's another storyline. Like, the deeper this thing goes, could that put them over the top in a game six, you know, against Tampa Bay? We will see. I don't think that if Tampa was going to lose the series that it would be in six, so maybe it doesn't make that much of a difference, but we will see. Wanted to note, Vasilevsky has had shutouts in both of their clinching games, so that, you know, goes to what I was saying earlier, like, who's going to step up and even score on Vasilevsky in a clinching game for Tampa Bay potentially. So that's discouraging for the Islanders. Matt, for the Islanders, Conn Smythe wise, nobody's jumping out at me as being like an overwhelming guy. Are you seeing anything value wise? Do you think it's Barzal just because he's their best player if they get that far, or is this like even more wide open than Vegas?
You know what? I actually kind of think it's less wide open than any of the other teams, and that includes Montreal. And so I've been on a wild ride here. I have Varlamov, Conn Smythe from before the playoffs started, under the concept of, you know, you can bet on the Islanders to win the Stanley Cup, or you can bet on Varlamov to win the Conn Smythe at like triple the odds, because the only way the Islanders are winning the Stanley Cup is if Varlamov is outstanding. And so when I say it's the opposite, it's like, yeah, he might not be the favorite. He's not the first guy that you mentioned, because, you know, obviously he missed, he got literally pulled from the first round. But if they beat the Lightning here, like, it's going to be because Varlamov was outstanding, right? And then we're now going to all shift our attention away from trying to pick and figure out who the Islanders skater is going to be. We're going to be sitting there going like, wow, I can't believe they beat the Lightning. Like, how did we get here, right? He might be so good in this series and might have to be so good in this series that he might have the Conn Smythe almost in his back pocket, even if they ended up losing into the finals, right? Especially if they ended up facing like a Vegas team who, like, we sit around and we go, okay, there's 10 different guys to vote for. Meanwhile, like, maybe Varlamov is awesome, right? And so the only way they win the series, if he's really great, I should change that a little bit. If they score 3.5 goals per game the way they have, they are going to win this series against the Lightning, or I would bet on them to win the series against the Lightning. I just don't think that's going to happen. Right. So yeah, like, to me, it's Varlamov or nothing. And that's a better value than just betting the Islanders to win the Stanley Cup going forward, because it's going to be him if it's them.
Well, real quick here before we wrap up, I just want to throw this out to Matt. If you want a better price on the Golden Knights, you can take them plus 375 to win in four games, if that is better suited to you for a series price. Take them in four, take them for the sweep.
Yeah, I mean, my numbers are what they are. And so, like, it's just going to be a thing where no matter how you parse it, the value is going to be on Montreal. And you don't have to go all the way to bet the series price. You could sort of, you know, put your toe in and go plus 1.5, even a plus 2.5. Like, whatever those numbers end up being, they are going to be valuable for Montreal, right? Even if it's, you know, Montreal plus 2.5 minus 200, like, people will recoil at that and be like, well, I don't really want to bet minus 200. Like, that's still better probability, implied probability, than, you know, what I think it should be, right? Like, that's a really good bet. Like, everything Montreal is a good bet from a value standpoint. It's just a matter of, you know, how much risk are you willing to take, both from an investment standpoint, you know, something like a Montreal plus 2.5, or a, you know, small risk, big reward standpoint, but less likelihood of actually cashing, which would be, of course, like the series price, right? Or even like Montreal minus 1.5. If you don't want anything to do with a Vegas game 7 situation here, which, like, you know, obviously last night wasn't a game 7, but certainly the first round was. If you don't want to deal with that, like, just go all the way. Go Montreal minus 1.5, have them win it at home in 6 or even earlier than that. And of course, that's going to be higher than plus 375. We're talking probably plus 500, plus 600 type numbers here. Like, that's where I would go. So, like, anything Montreal works, it's just a matter of, you know, curating it for yourself to try to kind of figure out, like, all right, what am I willing to do here?
And just before we wrap up here, I mean, game 1 Lions, I'm seeing for the Islanders, Lightning minus 190 for the Lightning, plus 155 for the Islanders. I actually think the Islanders have a better chance than Montreal does to upset their opponent in game 1. So, I mean, I don't mind that number. I think that the Islanders have a lot to prove. Nobody's given them a chance. They've been through some hard fought series with some adversity. Montreal, to me, on the other side in the other series, is like, they haven't trailed in a while. I could see that game getting out of hand in Vegas's favor. I think that Montreal could, you know, maybe respond back in game 2 with some adjustments, but I see the Islanders putting up a good fight in game 1 at Tampa. And then, you know, of course, the other game could get ugly, I think, unfortunately, for Montreal's end. Just strictly talking about game 1, what are your thoughts, Matt, on the opener for each series?
You know what? The worst thing that happened to us Montreal backers is going into that game 1, we all were like, oh, such a quick turnaround for Montreal after the Toronto series, right? So it was like, I would love to just unload on Montreal here because, like, my numbers say that they should be the favored team. And I couldn't, because I'm like, Winnipeg has all the advantages going into game 1, right? And so it's like, okay, well, I kind of think Winnipeg might get game 1 here. Like, the prices makes more sense from that standpoint. But, like, if they do, now we're going to go absolutely ham on the Habs series price after Winnipeg wins game 1. And then Montreal's fine, right? Like, they are completely okay. They win the game relatively comfortably. And you're like, okay, guess this is going to be way easier than we thought. Right. And so, you know, I'm a little bit, you know, wary of kind of having that same attitude against Vegas here, where it's like, you know, okay, I guess we should be afraid of it. But, you know, they've proven, they just keep proving, you know, beyond our expectations.
Yeah, I could see that. I'm going with the favorites in game one, you know, for both series. I'm taking Vegas, hammer job, and then I am taking Tampa Bay too. 3 p.m. start time though. I don't love that, Petey.
A
I
little
don't love
wacky.
that. Don't love that. Tampa Bay country club team. Always be wary of the earlier starts for the country club teams. They don't love those games, so keep an eye on that. But Matt, you know, tremendous stuff really today. Appreciate the takes at mrussauthentic on Twitter. Is there anything you want to plug before we wrap up here?
Yeah, my podcast, daily podcast, Monday to Friday, The Window, you know, talking everything. We're getting into the Euro 2020, the tournament from the past in the future. And of course, you know, right up to the Stanley Cup Finals, NBA in the mix as well. Just getting beat up in the NBA. That's why I'm on this podcast talking to you guys, because I do way better in the NHL. And then, you know, probably take some time off and then we'll get ramped up for the NFL. So, you know, it's always, things are always happening over at The Window, which is available wherever you get your podcast, The Window, sports betting podcast.
Yeah, I've listened a couple of times, Matt, and I enjoy it. I enjoy the touches around the league, and I'm looking forward to hearing your thoughts on the Euro, because I'll be back in my countries, my parents' countries, Denmark and Italy. There's some good value on those teams, by the way, and some pedigree as well for them. So I'm excited about the tournament kicking off on Friday. But yeah, so for Matt Russell, Rob Reese, Pete Jensen, thanks so much for listening. NHL Fantasy on Ice. Enjoy the third round. Hit us all up with any questions you got on the betting side of things, and we'll touch base with you next week.